This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
What a special episode of the Matt Rooney Show this is. All of my Christmases have come at once. Ladies and gentlemen, what once was lost has been found. Producer Daniel is here. Did you wander in by mistake?
I did. I kind of just ended up here, and now here we are. I said, hey, actually someone offered to give me candy and help them find their dog. And I was like, all right, that seems intriguing. And now I don't really know what I'm doing.
Well, I'll take the blame for that. I should have raised you better.
You should have, but clearly no one did.
Don't talk to strangers, Daniel. How you been, man?
Yeah, you know, living, working, all that kind of stuff.
You know, we've been talking about you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I hope it's been good stuff.
Yeah, every episode we're like, well, yeah, we don't know where producer Dan is. It's part of the it's become a running gag.
I'm somewhere in the States. I was in Chicago, and then I was in Houston for a little bit. Now here I am.
You're up in Chi-Town helping elect the new Pope, the new Chicago Pope.
Yep.
You're instrumental.
Yep. I was up in Chi-Rack, you know how they call it, eating the Portillo's and the deep dish. So
I don't mind the deep dish pizza. It's not my favorite, but it can be good.
Lou Malnati's is probably the best deep dish that I've had over Giordano's.
Deep dish anywhere or Chicago deep dish?
Chicago deep dish.
Chicago deep dish. Yeah, I've never been to Chicago.
Yeah,
believe
not
it or not.
So much.
Should I go?
Do you have time and money?
Definitely not time.
Then no. No, you shouldn't.
I got invited to go to a conference in Chicago a couple years ago, and I was so excited because I've never been until they told me it was in March. And I decided that was not the month to visit the Windy City, so I politely declined. It was actually, I think it was an American Bar Association conference, which, ladies and gentlemen, is how we're going to start out
the
Matt Rooney Show.
I love bars.
You love bars? This is not the kind of bar, Dan, where you would have a good time.
Oh, this is something that Elizabeth Warren was once a part of, right?
Is she a lawyer? She's a professor.
I don't know. I saw her.
I mean, she's a fake Indian, but.
I don't know. I saw an Elizabeth Warren Bar Association card. I don't know if that was real or if it was fake.
But. Yeah, I know she was a law professor, but you technically don't have to pass the bar to teach. Maybe she did. I don't know. She would make it up, so we couldn't rely upon anything she said. But this is one of my favorite stories of the week, folks. And I'm just gonna jump right in because you know the deal here on the Matt Rooney Show is we prepare you for the week ahead by reviewing what matters from the week gone by. It dropped on Thursday. The great Pam Bondi, Attorney General of the United States of America, no longer giving special treatment to the American Bar Association. This is the sort of stuff that makes my little heart sing, right? Because as an attorney, I am so tired of my fellow lawyers and judges who forgot that they took an oath to defend the Constitution and simply use their power to advance their far-left BS. Fox reported it. I think they were the first to have it on Thursday.
Aren't you
the Justice
part of the Bar
Department
Association?
What's the Bar Association?
No, aren't you a part of it or no?
Well, I'm a part. This is a good primer. This is the value you add to the program when you're here, Daniel, when you actually decide to show up for work.
Sometimes I just want to relax and have a high noon.
Well, you've been having multiple high noons, man. You haven't been here for many, many noons. Many moons and many noons.
Anyway.
Yeah, so a bar association is exactly what it sounds like. It's an association of people that have been admitted to the bar. So there are local bar associations, and yes, I'm affiliated with a local county bar association, but then there's state bar associations, and then there's the American Bar Association. And the American Bar Association, for all intents and purposes, for a long time, has been a liberal super PAC. Far left have departed from their core mission of associating attorneys and advocating for the legal profession and have advocated instead for leftist causes. They ruin everything they touch, folks. It's the reverse Midas touch. But you got to check out this letter from Pam Bondi if you get a chance. For several decades, the American Bar Association has received special treatment and enjoyed special access to judicial nominees. In some administrations, the ABA received notice of nominees before a nomination was announced to the public. Some administrations would even decide whether to nominate an individual based on a rating assigned by the ABA. But now Bondi says, accordingly, while the ABA is free to comment on judicial nominations, along with other activist organizations, a little subtle dig there, not too subtle actually, there is no justification for treating the ABA differently from such other activist organizations, and the Department of Justice will not do so. This is huge, and I don't think anyone listening to this program, whether it be on the radio, the old-fashioned way, or if it's via the Odyssey app, or, of course, the brand-new Matt Rooney Show podcast, I don't need to explain to you why it's important to reform the process of selecting judges. We've got a lot of exceptionally crappy ones right now. We have a certain judge out in Wisconsin who has made herself infamous as of late for allegedly shielding an illegal immigrant from getting picked up by ICE. We've had judges entertain lawfare in this country waged at a former president, now current president, simply because he had the wrong letter at the end of his name, and he was a threat to the establishment. And now you have federal judges doing one of the most ridiculous things of all, in my not-so-humble opinion, which is issue nationwide injunctions. So the will of the people is being undermined. You vote for a president, you vote for members of Congress, the executive and legislative branches to implement policies. One appointed, not elected guy or gal in a black robe somewhere in the country can impact policy for everyone. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So this particular move by Pam Bondi is beautiful in of itself, because the ABA is a terrible organization and we need to reform the process of how we select judges. But it also goes back to something that I lecture you on endlessly here on our little show, which is that you can never accept a bad premise. Republican presidents forever have just bended the knee to the American Bar Association, despite the fact that the ABA has become increasingly radical. Why? Why do it? Why continue to pretend that the ABA, these media organizations, these universities, right, like Harvard, many of which receive direct or indirect federal subsidies to the tune of millions or billions of dollars? Why are we still pretending that any of these organizations are legitimately interested in what their mission used to be many, many years ago when they were founded? They're all serving one purpose, the purpose of advancing the agenda of the Democrat Party. Enough. They could do what they want to a certain degree, but A, I don't have to subsidize with my tax dollars, and B, no one in power, no one in government should treat them with any special reverence. Or as Pam Bondi says, they're not entitled to any special access to judicial nominees or the judicial process. So kudos to Pam Bondi. Wonderful Attorney General, proved it yet again this week. She's almost as good an AG as you are, producer Daniel. And I was busting your chops, but I did miss you. I don't think we've spoken in about 6 weeks. Has it been that long? A month?
Yeah, pretty much the end of April is the last show that I did. And I was off all of May, not by choice, but just because I was working and graduation season and all these events going on. So yeah, it seems about, 4 to 6.
Well, you have a day job, and you have, I guess you have a social life, at least of some kind.
You could say
at least
that,
it's yeah. Bella's friends.
Mainly her family. We go camping. She has a seasonal site up at a campground in towards Lancaster. So we're there a lot.
And you're going back to the shore this summer, maybe?
Yep, we'll be we'll be Cape May in July.
Okay, you're gonna let me know, right?
Of course.
I'll come and buy you a soda pop.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not on enough to drink, so soda pop's going to be good.
I know just the place.
Yeah.
I know just the place to take it. There's an old-timey five and dime type store.
On the strip? On
That's
Washington
right.
Street? I love that store. I get my old-fashioned Coke every single time, and we rock it.
That's right. Get your root beer float. It's Americana overload. Just you could eject that stuff into your veins.
I don't really like root beer floats. I don't know about you, but I don't really like root beer floats.
You got something against root beer?
It's not my favorite thing.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, it's a big world, plenty of choices. No one's saying you have to love root beer.
Is it going to be just you, or are you going to bring the lovely Jacqueline as well? Because it was just you the last time.
Well, we'll see. She's elusive. She's an elusive creature. Okay. Plus, you also got to remember, we have rugrats we have to account for.
You just call your kid rugrats?
Yeah, they're little rugrats.
I don't want to be associated as a rugrat by the Matt Rooney.
Well, don't worry. I'm not going to call you one.
Oh, thank God.
Anyways. Yeah, but I have my own, and they have to be accounted for, unless you want me to bring them.
I mean, if you're going to KMA Brewing, I don't really know if you want to bring kids to a brewery.
No, probably not. I mean, it depends on the let me say this. It's not even really the brewery. It's the time of day, whether it's appropriate to bring kids.
Mostly be towards the evening. Evening hours.
The evening hours?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we can make it an adult-only excursion to get you your soda pop.
Yeah. I love me a good soda pop.
I'll tell you what. People listening to this are thinking, these guys know a good time.
Root beer floats, Washington Street Mall, an occasional adult bevy. You know what I mean?
Maybe go thrifting, antiquing.
We could also go thrifting and antiquing. Wow, that sounds like a fantastic time.
Ooh, I'll tell you what.
At least as a vacation, like thrifting and a soda pop.
Yeah, you know what? I'm impressed by how much fun we are.
You mentioned on the whole judge. Did you see that the Democrats are now recruiting that Olivia girl for the young male voters?
The Olivia girl for the
I don't know what her name is. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. But supposedly
use the interwebs.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. Apparently it was like, I saw it on Twitter that they're using this girl who is of heavier set to appeal to the male.
Pleasantly plump. Yeah. That's my preference.
Who is pleasantly plump to appeal to the younger men.
Really?
I saw that. Yeah.
Is this a thing that young men are into? You're a young male.
I don't know. Have you seen a picture of her?
I haven't.
No, I'm not into it.
I'm curious. What's her name?
I don't. Olivia something.
Olivia something. I'm typing that. And Olivia something pleasantly plump. I don't know. Maybe I should not use a browser that tracks my history.
I mean, you could. Let me see if I can find it as well. But supposedly, people are not buying it, and they're like, you know, it's really not doing anything for me. Now I should have saved the story, but I didn't. I should have.
Yeah, that would have been helpful.
I didn't do my job correctly. I'm sorry.
Well, you didn't even know.
Oh, Olivia Juliana.
Olivia Juliana.
Top Democrat activist and thought leader Olivia Juliana is now advising Democrats on how to win over young men.
Yes, no. She was one of the worst new finds of the 2024 cycle.
She is a self-described queer plus-sized Latina activist.
My theory is that some people, God love them, and I do mean that, folks. God love them. They've got maybe something going on, right? And they just lean in. Right? Like, all right, so many of us deal with extra weight. I'm a little extra around the waistline, you know? But instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to exercise and eat healthy and intermittent fast or whatever and do all the things I need to do to get myself in shape, it's easier to just, you know, pretend I'm a victim and dye my hair purple and just, you know.
You don't have any extra. We just call that a honeypot.
No, that's not what this is. I have a straight-on dad gut.
No, it's a honeypot. It's a beer belly, but cuter. It's a honeypot.
I'll tell you what. You go away and you're sweet when you come back. Check you out.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you get changed on the road.
Folks, he has no idea what's even going on. He didn't even know that when the show airs, it now airs on Saturday nights. He's like, well, I thought we were on Sunday nights.
Yeah, no one told me the show's now on Saturday.
He has no idea that the new time slot is 7 to 9 on Saturday nights. The old Mike Opelka slot is where the Matt Rooney Show can now be heard on the radio. But remember, as I said already, we're really building up that podcast. So you can go wherever podcasts can be found. You can check it out on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Amazon has it, Daniel. We said last week we're on Amazon UK. Check that out.
The UK.
We're international.
Whoa. I don't know what to call it. I guess that's international. International, as they say, overseas.
See, those are the accents that we miss when you're not here.
Can I get you some beans and rice and international?
It sounded like you were pushing something out that time.
I mean, you know how it is sometimes.
You're straining. You got to have more fiber. I don't want you to burst something, man. At least not when we're doing radio. It's going to be a fun show too, by the way. Not just because Dan is back, which is always amusing, even when it's morbidly amusing. We've got my good buddy coming up a little bit later on the program, Sean Hyland, Director of Advocacy for the New Jersey Family Policy Center. What does that mean? He's one of the most active conservatives in New Jersey that people look to for his opinions and for guidance, especially come election time. Remember, in New Jersey, we have a primary election coming up on June 10th. If you've got that mail-in ballot, you got to get it in. There's drop boxes everywhere. You can check it out on your county website. But of course, you can go vote in person on June 10th. So Sean's organization actually developed a scorecard. It's pretty cool. So I want to talk to him about 2025 anyway, some of the issues that he's following, and also find out a little bit more about his scorecard. So looking forward to that, talking a little shop, New Jersey politics. You know, I'm obsessed with it, a little later on the program. And of course, because Daniel's back, we've got Twit Talk.
Woo woo.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Since I've been scandalized by one of your Twit Talk contributions. So we have. That's the reaction. We can't see you, folks, but we can hear you. And we know that gave you the warm and fuzzy. We also tonight are going to talk a little bit about the AutoPen scandal, which just keeps getting more awesome by the day, and everything else that we can possibly jam into this adorable little program of ours here on 1210 WPHT. Let's take a break so we can play some ads, make some money, and pay for all this. Dan ain't cheap, despite what he might lead you to believe. And we'll be back with more of the Matt Rooney Show in a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand.
The Matt Rooney Show. Feat Dan Valdez, who has returned to us at long last. Our somewhat inauthentic Gen Z Latinx correspondent, but we love him all the same.
What do you mean? I'm like 1/8.
Yeah, what? Yeah, right.
That's more authentic than you.
It should be, because I don't have any Hispanic blood.
There we go.
I'm aware of. But I didn't masquerade as one.
I'm not masquerading as one. That's what I am.
Yeah, every time we have Justin Otero on here, he's like legit, man. He's like 100%.
Well, Bella's more. She's 50.
Is she 50?
Yeah, she's 50%. She's way more than me.
Well, that's why you're hanging out with Bella, because she raises your average.
Yeah, I got to up my
score. In more way than one.
Yep.
Yeah. How's she doing, by the way?
She's great, man.
Excellent. Does she ask about me?
You want the real answer, or do you want the lying answer?
The lying good for radio answer.
Lying, yeah, dude. She asks about you all the time. Like, she's going to go see Matt today? And I'm like, nah, unfortunately not. You know? Like, she asks about you all the time.
That's awesome. Tell her I said hi.
The real answer is no, she doesn't.
So let's explain how this works, because I know you've been gone for a while.
Yeah, okay.
When we're lying for radio, you don't give the real answer after you give the...
It's my first day. What do you want me to do?
I know. Yeah. He's a sweet kid, folks. He's still learning. here at the Bad Rudy Show on 1210 WPHT. Have you been following the AutoPen story? I know you usually don't prepare for work or
the
work.
One that we talked about like months ago.
Well, yeah, it's back.
Oh,
it's back. It's back. Okay. Bigly.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause the house is digging into this. And Jake Tapper also has a new book out and it's called Original Sin. And it is Jake Tapper's attempt. Yeah, I know. Right. Sometimes there's publishers that churn this stuff out and you wonder to yourself, is that really the best you could come up with all these multi-billion dollar executives and these marketing agencies that they pay God knows how much to come up with something that's eye grabbing and original sin. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in this particular context. Now, the significance of Original Sin, and we'll get a little bit more to Jake Tapper in a moment, is this is the attempt of one of the senior members of the legacy media, one of the most visible guys out there in the political arena, Jake Tapper, to rehabilitate their failure, their collective failure, to inform the American people that Joe Biden had taken a leave of his senses and was probably pooping his pants, and we did not have a real commander-in-chief for much or possibly most of his second term as president, or his first term as president, excuse me. Let's listen to Jake. We have one of his recent media interviews because he's on a book tour. This is him.
Oh God, is doing his Bernie Sanders book tour that's going to last ages.
It's never going to end. But although in this particular case, it's not going so well.
Yeah.
Because he keeps having to answer really hard questions about his book. If you've seen, I know, right? Poor baby.
Yeah.
And if you've seen Jake Tapper recently, he looks like he's aged about 17 years and 7 months.
Yeah.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Listen to this.
And I think that we need to be skeptical of everything that we are told by people in power. That obviously should be the mantra of being a journalist to begin with. If your mother tells you she loves you, get a second source. But we just need to remember that. Like, politicians lie. White houses lie. Power is an aphrodisiac. And we just need to all remember that and not take at face value anything that we're told.
Does my mom actually love me? That's my second source.
I am pretty darn sure your mother loves you.
Okay.
I've met your mommy and she's a fan.
Yeah. All right.
Your mommy might love me more.
Let's not get out of ourselves now.
It's possible.
Could be. But I don't think so. Sorry to break your little heart.
Well, we'll follow up on that. Put a pin in that.
Okay.
For a moment. But just, this is my initial reaction to Jake Tapper's. It's not really an apology tour. It's a rehabilitation tour for himself and his entire industry. Jake Tapper's sitting there talking to The Atlantic, advising other journalists that, guys, I've got this novel idea. Maybe as reporters, we should be skeptical of the people in charge that we're reporting on. Captain Obvious much, right? Like that's kind of like a doctor saying like, hey, you know what? Like when a patient comes in and they're saying that their stomach hurts, like maybe we should give them an examination of their stomach. You know,
I have some reviews if you're curious about.
Run them down for us.
The New York Times said a damning step-by-step account of how the people closest to a stubborn aging president enabled his quixotic, I don't know what that word is. Resolve to run for a second term, New York Times. Ezra Klein, the Ezra Klein Show, no idea who that is. A reconstruction of what Democrats should have known and when they should have known it. Michelle Goldberg, again, from the New York Times. Explosive. Tapper and Thompson have done the Democratic Party a favor. Some sort of reckoning is due for the disastrous missteps that are paved the way for Trump's return.
See, again, no one is saying what we all know and what the American people figured out last year. They didn't miss something, right? This isn't three doctors that looked at an MRI and somehow weren't able to see the small tumor, right? This is doctors, to torture my medical analogy, all looking at the same MRI, seeing the tumor, and then choosing not to tell the patient and the American people. And in this case, it's possible that that's almost exactly what happened, because as you all know, ladies and gentlemen, there have been real questions about how a relatively slowly advancing cancer, like the one that former President Biden's been diagnosed with, how the President of the United States, who was supposed to be closely monitored, how it got to the point where it was in an advanced stage before it was caught. I'm tired of being gaslit. That's what I'm trying to say. The good news is, as evidenced by what happened in 2024, the American people are not falling for this stuff anymore generally, but the media has not given up the game. And that's what this book is all about. And you just heard from the reviews that Daniel read, nowhere in there is there any honesty. Like, hey, listen, there was a cover-up and we were a part of it and we need to reckon with the fact that we participated in a cover-up. Nope. That would involve them admitting they were wrong. They would involve them fessing up to their culpability. No, it's oh my God, how did we miss it?
Here's
despite the fact that you had President Biden admitting during one rambling speech, or I don't know if it was an admission. At the time, we thought maybe it was just him having one of his strange delusions or mental meanderings. Remember he said, oh, listen, like people that have cancer, right? Inferring that it was he that also had cancer.
Here's my favorite review by the LA Times. Superbly reported, reads like a Shakespearean drama on steroids.
A Shakespearean drama on steroids?
I also find it funny that everyone denied it when they were like, nah, it's not real. Like, it's just, you know, all this, all that. It's not real. Don't believe it. And then all of a sudden, he comes out and it's like, oh, yeah, that was real, by the way. Like, they try to play it off like,
yeah,
nothing ever happened.
Yeah. When we know.
Yeah, we all knew it.
We all knew it. They didn't want to admit it. And so now it looks like Congress is going to attempt to dig into it. And why is it relevant? I mean, I'll admit, when this storyline concerning the auto pen first surfaced, I said to myself, you know, he's gone. He's been defeated. Kamala Harris has been run out of Washington, hopefully never to return. Do we want to focus on all the good stuff we're trying to do, the America First principles that are going to turn this country around, or do we want to perseverate on the Biden years? But I think it's important for a few reasons. And one of them is because, candidly, there has to be accountability for what happened over the course of the 4 years preceding Donald Trump's return to the White House. Because if there's not accountability, there's an increased chance that this could happen again. And so now there's groups that are digging into it. I read earlier this week over on Life Z, there's a watchdog group called Power the Future that's asking for a congressional investigation. They're claiming that there is no evidence that Joe Biden was cognizant of orders that were approved. Now, most of the focus up until this point has been on the pardons, right? I mean, I said on X earlier this week, and you can check me out at Matt Rooney NJ, by the way, if you're so inclined, you know, is it possible that Hunter Biden pardoned himself? I think we have to say, Dan, it's possible, given what's since come out. Now this particular group, right, they've shared their findings in a letter to James Comer from Kentucky. He, of course, is the chairman of the House Committee on Oversight, right? They're saying that Biden's staff may have used an auto pen to execute fairly major policies related to the energy sector and related to our economic well-being in this country. This is what the executive director said, Daniel Turner. This auto pen scandal is evidence that these green executive orders are invalid and the instigators should be thoroughly investigated by the Department of Justice for violating the trust of the American people and perpetuating a great fraud on the nation. And we could look at almost anything that Biden signed, especially in the last couple of years. Who was actually making the decision. Now, the Constitution is pretty specific on this point, right? Although, you know, lawyers are going to do what they do, right? They're going to try to find ambiguity. But if you check out the Constitution, it talks about how the president has to sign these orders. Well, what does that mean, right? I mean, anyone that's an attorney, a business person, whatever, you have an assistant and you have an electronic signature, right? Especially in the age of post-COVID. Plenty of people affix a digital signature to things. So is it that the president actually has to, pursuant to Article 1, Section 7, sign the document? Or is it enough that the president has the intent to sign it? So I hand the piece of paper to Dan and I say, Dan, go ahead and put my digital signature on this. I'm fine with it. That's how it functions in most businesses and in most firms. But what happens if the president doesn't have the intent and he didn't sign it? And someone, maybe a member of his family, maybe someone that's a member of the staff, takes a stack of executive orders or pardons down to wherever they keep the auto pen and just goes to town. They could. I operated an auto pen before. I was an intern at the RNC back in the early 2000s. I guess it was the mid-2000s. Shouldn't age myself up here. And I think Ken Melman was the chairman of the RNC at the time. And I was the intern that was tasked with going down and applying the auto pen to a bunch of like Christmas cards or something like that. And I sat there like a cursed princess in a fairy tale in the basement, surrounded by boxes in a room without windows, just pressing a pedal. And it would put Ken Melman's signature on all these cards that went out to donors and whoever the heck else, right? Did somebody do that with orders that impact this country's ability to be energy independent, among other significant topics? Quite possibly.
It was his wife.
Well, we don't know.
Oh, no, I'm calling it now.
You're calling it right now.
I'm calling it.
I know someone who may agree with you, Daniel.
Oh, that's a first.
Yeah, when someone agrees with you, it's something that we have to talk about because that does not happen every day.
Or it was or it was the other one. You know what I mean? We did it, Joe.
Kamala,
the president of the United States.
I don't think she could operate an auto pen. I don't think she could figure it out. It only involves pressing a pedal, but I still think that's
beyond her. We
got to
give her the benefit of the doubt. Like I don't.
Ooh, do we? I mean, do we?
You don't, but I could.
Well, listen to this. This is cut dose. This is the great Carolyn Leavitt, White House press secretary, saying that at the very least, in her mind, Jill Biden is culpable.
And on a different topic, there are some folks in President Biden's inner circle who are now in talks with Republicans in Congress to give interviews about how they may have handled President Biden's decline. Is the president satisfied with aides only sitting for these transcribed interviews, or would he also like to see some kind of testimony from the former First Lady, Dr. Biden?
I think, frankly, the former First Lady should certainly speak up about what she saw in regards to her husband and when she saw it and what she knew. Because I think anybody looking, again, at the videos and photo evidence of Joe Biden with your own eyes and a little bit of common sense can see this was a clear cover-up. And Jill Biden was certainly complicit in that cover-up. There's documentation, video evidence of her clearly shielding her husband away from the cameras. They were just on The View last week. She was saying everything is fine. She's still lying to the American people. She still thinks the American public are so stupid that they're going to believe her lies. And frankly, it's insulting, and she needs to answer for it. Ouija.
Thank you, Caroline. President Trump was asked
what he thought about... That's Dan Valdez echo syndrome, ladies and gentlemen. Good for you. See, you didn't miss a step while you were gone, buddy.
I didn't. I sometimes do my job and read news.
Yeah.
One of those is true. One of those is false.
Those are the high standards we adhere to here on the Matt Rooney Show, everyone, on 1210 WPHT. Quick timeout, but don't get yourself worked up. Don't get your panties in a twist. We'll be back in just a minute.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Well, I can't say that I'm overly excited for Twit Talk coming up later on this episode of the Matt Rooney Show, but I am mildly excited for the return of a segment that I don't think we've done in a while, even when Dan was here, because we were so much occupied with other items. This show has a pedagogical mission, folks. We're always trying to inform you. I think we do a darn good job of it. And that mission purpose is no better illustrated by a little segment we like to call Dan's Fact of the Week.
It's my favorite segment of all time.
That's not true.
It's my favorite segment of all time.
You're already lying.
That's because my favorite segment of all time, take a guess,
is Twit
Talk. There we go. Let's say it all together now.
It's TikTok time.
That's
an exact impression of you.
Kind
of
sound like Butters for a little bit from South Park, but it is what it is. Today's fact, summer themed. I like to theme my facts, and summer is quickly approaching.
Even though it was a tad bit chilly this week.
It was, and raining a lot.
Yeah.
Do you like popsicles?
Oh, I like me a popsicle.
Well,
I keep them in stock once the heat comes.
There you go. For you or for your little rugrats?
I buy them for them, but then even though I'm pretending they're for them, I indulge, yes.
Right, so you got to keep your honeypot going.
I'm not sure you're using that word correctly.
I'm using it correctly. Don't fact check me. Did you know popsicles were invented by accident?
You don't say.
They were invented by an 11-year-old named Frank Epperson. He created the popsicle in 1905 by leaving his soda with a stirring stick outside of his porch overnight. The cold night air froze the soda, leaving the stick upright, and the original name was called the Epsicle. Probably not the best name, but it is what it is.
No, that sounds like something you inject yourself with when you're having a reaction.
Yeah, that's an EpiPen.
Right, but it sounds like that.
Yeah, fun fact, he also created that. He didn't do that, but...
After he drank the crap he left out overnight.
The name Popsicle was created by his kids, who called his invention Pops-sickle, and then he patented the name in 1923 because he liked the name so much. And that's what I got for you, Fact of the Week.
Well, that's a pretty darn good one.
There you go.
I didn't know all that.
Yeah.
I've always wondered how certain things were first discovered that seem awfully simple. Like, for example, fire, right? Like, I don't think somebody sat down, some caveman, and said, you know, like, let me bang these two things together because it's going to help me be warm, or I'm going to be able to cook my woolly mammoth that we just caught, right? Like, I'd have to think it was an accident, right? Ook and Gok threw rocks at each other and it sparked and it started a fire, and a couple people probably got burned up in the encampment that night. And then they decided, oh, that's hot, I can do something with it. But doesn't that fascinate you? How do these things come about?
I don't know. I wish I was that smart to think of something, but I know I'm not, so.
Well, you have your limitations, but you know what? It's very smart that you know them, Dan.
Yep.
The American people are smartening up. That's for darn sure. We know the Matt Rooney Show continues to grow by leaps and bounds, and we appreciate you all. Especially now that we're airing the show in a new time slot on Saturday nights. And of course, we got the podcast, which is just exploding. So we love you for that. Can't say the same for the legacy media and especially our friends over on cable networks that are not called Fox News. Just saw an article this week, a roundup from the Daily Mail, because sometimes, ironically, you have to cross the pond to get an honest take on American media and politics. Viewers jumping overboard over at MSNBC, home of Jen Psaki, Tokyo Red. Peppermint Patty, right? In just the month of May, MSNBC saw a 41% drop in the primetime demographic, okay? It gets better from there. 34% in the total day demo compared to the same period in May 2024. That is brutal. And these programs already don't have a significant audience anymore. Jake Tapper's program over on CNN over the course of a month only had a little bit more than 500,000 viewers. That's nothing. That means there's some radio stations out there, some local radio stations that can rival some of the flagship programs of liberal cable news networks. What does that tell you? That tells you that nature is healing. I think something happened in 2024 and people realized who these manipulators, these professionally paid manipulators are, and they've just decided to walk away from them. Now, some of it's probably a little bit more simple than that. Here on the Matt Rooney Show, sometimes we got to talk about things that make you angry and tick you off, but we also try to entertain you. We laugh, we cry. Dan's a silly little guy.
Tee-hee. As
when he's here. Tee-hee. Tee-hee. Right? On those programs, and throughout the Trump era, their business model was centered on one thing and one thing only, making your blood pressure approach unhealthy levels by spewing out vile about the President of the United States and convincing you that he is the second coming of Hitler and is going to destroy our country if he's allowed to ever return to power again. The problem with the whole Chicken Little routine is when the sky doesn't fall, some people eventually say the hell with it and they walk away. I think there's some of that going on too.
So if you want to know the overall most viewed cable show of the month, you want to take a guess? It's for May.
Out of all cable.
Yeah.
Fox and Friends.
Wrong. It's The Five.
Okay. All
right. Brought in an average of 3.77 million. Take a guess.
3.375 million?
3.77 million.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's a lot of eyeballs, folks.
Jesse Waters is right behind at 3.23 million. And then some of the other standouts of that network Fox were Gutfeld, which is 2.92 million, Bret Baier, 2.81 million, and Hannity at 2.73.
So for those of you that learned math from the teachers union, I'm going to help you out. That means at the moment, The Five, that audience is like more than seven times larger than Jake Tapper's.
Yeah.
The guy who is currently engaged in this massive book tour, getting tons of press. Everyone is fawning all over him because, again, they want to support this narrative that, oh, Joe Biden tricked us. His people tricked us. It wasn't us actively trying to participate in a cover-up, right? Because, we know the media in this particular situation, they were not innocent. They were aiding and abetting a fraud that was being perpetrated against the American people, right? But the programs of these leftists like Jake Tapper, they're just collapsing. And I'm all here for it. I don't wish harm on anyone. I don't wish ill of anyone. I don't wish anyone bad fortune. But in the case of the media, these people that lied to us and didn't adhere to their core mission, I hope they fail. I hope their shows implode. I hope they all lose their jobs. Not because I want to see anybody miserable, but there needs to be some justice in the universe for the sake of getting a better and stronger country moving forward again.
And the demographic that they're trying to go for is 25 to 54. And yeah. I can certainly tell you that I am not within, I mean, I'm kind of within that demographic, but I don't want to sit down watching Fox News at 5 o'clock on. I don't want to do that. So,
well, I watch almost no cable news myself.
You watch what?
I watch almost no cable news.
Oh yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't do that.
But I mean, of course, when I do, it's usually Fox News election night coverage, or if there's something big cracking out there.
Yeah, right,
that's when I turn it on. Like, but I almost never just sit around my office or my home and say, "Oh, I wonder what's happening on Fox News or any of these channels." I just don't.
No,
I like to read, and this is part of the reason why programs like this one are doing so well. People prefer the podcast. They prefer to listen. We can have a longer form conversation here. And I'll tell you what else is one of the beauties of this medium. It's harder to manipulate someone because what are we doing right now? We're having a conversation with you, even though Dan and I aren't sitting in your car or your living room, as fun as that would be. We'd have a hoot.
Oh, yeah, we would.
We would.
Also, speaking of ratings, last thing. Jen Psaki, we all know. It's now The Briefing with Jen Psaki. Didn't know that. May 23rd ratings.
When did audience, that change?
May 5th. Okay. So the start.
Yeah,
of
it used to be Inside
with Jen Psaki.
With Jen Psaki, which is positively filthy. Right?
Yeah,
this is a family program. I never like that title.
Yeah, the it had an audience of 578,000.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's the media equivalent of like close friends and family are watching your show, and that's about it.
Pretty much just a channel skipping.
Things are getting better out there, folks. You just got to hang in and keep striving for a better country. We're on our way. We know America's great. We are quite literally making it again, making it great again. And it's evidenced by the fact that a lot of bad people are out of jobs and are losing their platforms that they use to try to manipulate you into serving their ends. Now you deserve a government that serves you, and that's what we're working towards, and that's what we advocate for here on the Matt Rooney Show. 1 hour of the program done, but don't worry about it. We still have another full hour ahead, so don't go anywhere. We're about to get underway in just a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back, old friends, new frenemies, and all who lie elsewhere in between on the spectrum that is life. I am Matt Rooney. This is the Matt Rooney Show. Our dose of dose for our bilingual listeners now underway. A special edition of the Matt Rooney Show because Dan Valdez has decided to come back to work after an extended hiatus. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks. Feel good to be here.
Does it?
Not really.
No, you're getting better at that whole lying thing. But you did it again, right? You gave the right answer, then you immediately gave the wrong one. But we're going to work on that.
Yeah, we'll work on it. Next show, I'll be better.
Yes, that's part of what you have to do in any field, in any industry, in any profession, right? We're going to continue to refine. Yeah, but it's all good. And I even got to briefly speak to Bella during the break.
You did.
Which was a rare treat. It's awesome. We got to have her back on soon.
Yep.
Those are our highest rated shows, by the way, when we have Bella, Dan's girlfriend, on.
Yeah,
she's much more likable than both of us. And more articulate.
Yeah.
She should probably have a show, truthfully.
She could probably take my spot.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Okay.
We'll work on that. All right, folks. And remember, when you are listening to the Matt Rooney Show, you've got a bounty of options. You can, of course, listen when we air on Saturday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out on the Odyssey app, or you can listen via the podcast, and you can find it anywhere where podcasts can be located, over on Spotify, Apple iTunes. So if you're barbecuing in the backyard, you're having a nice bath, and you're tired of listening to the song of the whales, whatever circumstance it is in life, and you decide you just need a little bit of Matt and Dan in your lives, you now have that option. And we not only have it broken out by hours, but sometimes when we do a cool interview, you can isolate that as well. So get with the times and check out the Matt Rooney Podcast and be sure to subscribe. Now, let's get down to business here because we have our guest for today's program. My viewers and listeners know I'm obsessing over New Jersey's 2025 election. Surprise, surprise, because I'm a Jersey guy and I live there, I pay taxes there, I'm raising a family there, and I have a website called SaveJersey.com. So if I wasn't trying to save Jersey, it'd be a little weird, right? It's kind of in the title of the website. And we have a real opportunity this year because Phil Murphy is on his way out, praise be to God in heaven. That's one mercy we've got going for us at the moment. And so New Jerseyans are now going to elect a successor, and they're going to do so coming up here in just a few couple of weeks now. I was going to say a few weeks. It's June 10th. It's already almost here. So to talk about the upcoming election and a really cool resource that his organization came up with, we have my friend who's the director of advocacy for the New Jersey Family Policy Center. He is Sean Hyland, a real leader out there in the grassroots, and he joins us now on the Matt Rooney Show. Sean, good to see you again, my friend.
Hey, Matt, good to be on with you. Appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
No, it's my pleasure. We've been talking about this for a little while, and I thought one of the last couple of programs before the election would be the right time for it, because you spend a lot of time out there in the trenches watching these candidates, listening to what they say, reading what they write, and you've developed a really cool guide for New Jersey voters. And the website for your organization, and correct me if I've got it wrong, it's njfpc.org, correct?
That's correct, yep. And on that website, they can find everything there.
And they can go there to download this guide. Before we get to the guide, why don't you tell me a little bit about your organization?
Well, sure. At the New Jersey Family Policy Center, we want to see a state where families thrive, life is cherished, and parental rights are protected so that God is honored. So we do a lot of work in our state legislature trying to advocate for parental rights, of course, protection for the unborn, going to school boards across the state, testifying in school board meetings, trying to educate school board members about policies in our state and what they can and cannot do. And of course, even speaking in churches about the gubernatorial race, educating them on voting, on their civic duty to vote here in New Jersey, and of course, answering their questions about what's going on at the state level. So we're really trying to take a broad, strong approach and trying to turn things around here in the Garden State.
And we really do need to turn things around. That's the appropriate way to put it, because you mentioned parental rights, for instance. Has there been a state that's been more hostile to parental rights with Phil Murphy in office? I mean, we saw it ramp up during the pandemic, and now the Murphy administration has decided to sue multiple school districts over their refusal to follow his guidance related to transgenderism in our schools. There's no even effort on the part of Phil Murphy and his Attorney General, Matt Plackin, to pretend that parents, in their estimation, should be in the driver's seat when it comes to their children's lives, their education, their spiritual well-being. They think that they can raise our children better than we do, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And for some reason, they have this thought or this idea that every family is unfit and abusive unless the state decides otherwise. And so they want to keep all parents in the dark about what's going on with their children, to keep secrets from parents, and to really intimidate school boards from even trying to notify parents about their own child's, mental health and social and emotional well-being. So it's really a serious violation of parental rights. And that's why I want to make sure voters in New Jersey understand that our governor, the governor of New Jersey, is only one of two in the entire country that has the power to appoint both an attorney general and a commissioner of education. So we're one of five where the governor appoints the attorney general, and we're one of 10 where they directly appoint the commissioner of education. Only one of two where they do both. It's New Jersey and New Hampshire. So all the war that's going on against parents in our state, all the hostility, all the school policies, all the lack of transparency, it all goes back to the office of the governor, because it's that office that appoints the AG and appoints the commissioner of education. And so hopefully that will motivate people this year in our state to get out and vote, vote obviously in the primary, and of course later on in November in the general election.
It's a double-edged sword, because when you have a decent governor, and we get more scrubs in New Jersey than decent ones, unfortunately, it's just the way it works. I mean, we're the state that voted against Lincoln, folks. I don't know what to tell you. But when you have a good governor, and then it's awesome that they can make those appointments. But right now, under these circumstances, with Phil Murphy as governor, it'd be really great to be able to elect an attorney general. Instead, we're saddled with Matt Plackin. So let's talk about this scorecard that was developed by your organization. And again, it's njfpc.org. It wasn't just the Republican primary you took a look at, also the Democrat primary. Tell us a little bit, Sean, about what went into developing this scorecard. What inspired it, and what were you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, well, our organization, we're a policy organization, so I wanted to, ask real policy-oriented questions, get beyond just the labels, just the ideological differences or open-ended questions. I wanted to ask actual statements they can either support or oppose, and it's within reach here in New Jersey. They could actually make these things happen in the executive branch. So we asked all the Republican and Democrat candidates, the top-tier candidates that were made the debate stages that qualified to be there, about what they would do with the Attorney General or the Commissioner of Education. So would they require the Commissioner of Education to revise the transgender student guidelines that keep parents in the dark? Would they support an attorney general that would drop the court cases against the school districts here in New Jersey? And would they require the State Board of Education to revise the sex ed learning standards in our state that have been so controversial and troubling? And some other questions as well, but really focusing on the power of the executive branch. And of course, a lot of the Democrats, I shouldn't say a lot, none of the other Democrat candidates answered our survey questions. However, they have voting records, they have public records, public statements. So we did footnote their positions on those questions. And Jack Chiarelli and Bill Spady did very well on the voter guide. And we also did some research on Senator John Bramnick, another great guy, but didn't answer the voter guide survey that we sent him.
Out of curiosity, did Senator Bramnick or any of the Democrats that didn't answer, did they supply you with a reason why they declined to answer, or did they just ignore you?
They did not supply me with an answer, no. I understand what the Democratic candidates, it could be awkward for them because it is the current governor that has been so hostile to parents, and if they were to support our statements in the voter guide, they would be directly contradicting the governor, who has so adamantly opposed us and what it is that we believe that parents have the rights to raise their own children. So they obviously were going to remain, silent. But they have plenty of other facts out there we're able to research and document for them. So even though they were silent, their position is still well known.
Yeah. It underscores how detached in many ways the politicians and the elites have become in this state, where they didn't even decide that it was worthwhile to dialogue with you guys at all. I mean, Steve Fulop, that's someone who I disagree on just about everything. We'd probably have trouble finding something we agreed on, but he actually came on this program several weeks ago, and we had a good conversation. Again, not a lot of common ground there, but I'll give him credit for at least having that discussion. The fact that none of these other Democrats, Cheryl, Gottheimer, Sweeney, any of them were willing to talk to you, it really is a sign of the times and not a particularly promising one, Sean. You mentioned that Jack Chiarelli, that's the Trump-endorsed candidate, he was the nominee in 2021, came pretty close. Bill Spady, former radio host on a different station up in Central Jersey. From reviewing the scorecard, it looks like they're pretty much simpatico on at least most of the questions that you guys asked. Did anything about any of your survey results surprise you?
It didn't surprise me. I think it may have surprised some other voters who are out there. Sometimes people assume candidates to be a certain way because they only hear certain criticisms about certain candidates. And so therefore, they have certain biases and filters when they think of a candidate and what they stand for. I'm not surprised by their answers because I know where Bill, sits on these issues. I know what Jack believes on these issues. I've been around both of those men for a number of years. I've heard them speak a number of times. And so I'm not surprised by their answers. I know both of them will govern very well on our issues. And so I hope that the voters of New Jersey take that into consideration, that when it comes to parental rights, both Bill Spady and Jack Chiarelli will govern very well. And so that issue should be somewhat not a deciding factor for voters because they're both very strong fighters on that. And I think sometimes, at least in the past, previously, I think some people haven't given Jack enough credit because he has been very vocal on parental rights, especially 4 years ago when he ran. I went to a number of his events back in 2021, and he would always speak out about the curriculum that's happening in our schools and the rights of parents to raise their kids according to their beliefs. And so I hope voters take this into consideration and look at these two candidates and then decide maybe on other issues or other reasons, but they're both very strong on parental rights and reforming our education system here in New Jersey.
Which we need to do so desperately. This is great. I encourage everyone listening to head on over to the website, check out the scorecard. It's detailed. It's substantive. I know the recent gubernatorial debate I took part in, that's what we tried to do. We tried to get away from the sound bites and give everyone that was watching an opportunity to really find out what these guys believe. I mean, look, I get it. I've never been a candidate myself, but I've been covering this stuff long enough, Sean. It's easy to default to the sound bites, especially in like a short debate. Some of these, I think the one that PBS did was only an hour. You guys really got into the weeds here. Why don't you tell us, I mentioned the URL for the website. Where else can we find you and your organization online?
Well, of course, you go to Facebook and social media. Just look for New Jersey Family Policy Center or NJFPC. We'll pop up there. Follow us on Facebook or I believe on Instagram also. We have an active page there as well. And sign up for our newsletters. We do have a weekly newsletter that goes out every Thursday, updating people what's going on at the state level and the legislature. And it's a great way to stay informed. Sometimes very hard to understand what's true, what's factual, what's misleading out there. So much political rhetoric. We take pride that we put out fact-based information every single Thursday about what's going on here in New Jersey.
Now, let me leave you with this, or maybe perhaps the better way to put it is you can leave us with your opinion. Sean, you're out there. You talk to a ton of people, hold a lot of events. You're very well trafficked. You probably put a lot of miles in your car like I do. What are your general feelings about November? Do you get the sense that New Jersey is ready to turn the page? There's a lot of talk about New Jersey now being a purple state, a swing state. I certainly believe it is. Do you share that optimism?
So me, I really, and I'm being very realistic here, I share very strong optimism for November. I really think people in New Jersey are very much more active now, much more engaged, and I think much more hopeful. I think in 2021, if people knew how close this state was, we would have had a better turnout. Now people know how close this state is, and so I think they're going to turn out very strong in November, and we're going to have a good result and a good outcome that we can live with for the next 4 years.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, I'm with you. I think that the key is now people believe it's possible.
Yes, exactly.
They think it's possible. Before, they thought their vote didn't matter in New Jersey, but Jack came close last time. President Trump came awfully close as any Republican has running for president since 1992 to winning New Jersey. So I think there's more believers out there. And what you just said is key, something we can live with. And unfortunately, in many instances, we mean that literally, right? We need a culture of life in the state. We're not just talking about abortion here. We're talking about one that is pro-family, which supports families, their ability to grow, their ability to thrive, parents' rights to be in the driver's seat of their children's education. All of these issues are interconnected. I think more and more American voters are getting that. And I know that today's guest certainly believes that. That's the fight that he wages every single day. Is Sean Hyland, Director of Advocacy for the New Jersey Family Policy Center. My friend, greatly appreciate you making time for us on the Matt Rooney Show. And we definitely have to have you back, if not before, in the general election, because I think things are going to be fun and we're going to need your perspective.
Sounds good, Matt. I look forward to coming back on again.
Appreciate you, sir. Sean Hyland, everyone, on the Matt Rooney Show. Let's take a quick break to fill up that coffee mug, and we'll be back with more on the program in just a second.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
I promise we'd be back, and I never let you down, folks. The Matt Rooney Show, and I am the aforementioned Matt Rooney, barreling through our second hour. Good talking to my friend, Sean. Oh, okay. I'll take a bow. This is the game
that I'm going to stick it to a man. $5, maybe that's fun.
Stick it to a man. I mean, that's such a generic phrase.
I don't know. There's one movie in specific.
I don't know.
You suck.
Well, I'm sorry to let you down. Oh, I know. Hold on. I got it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
So that's School Rock.
You looked it up. You cheater.
No, I did not.
You cheater.
I did not. I remembered it. I had a moment of inspiration.
Yep. Yep. School Rock. You got to stick it to the man.
Have you seen the new Jack Black movie?
The Minecraft movie?
The Minecraft movie?
No.
Okay.
I have.
I've got a lot of young kids in my family, and everyone's obsessed with Minecraft, and you're kind of a kiddie, so I wasn't sure if you were into that stuff too.
I've played Minecraft.
Have you? I never have.
Multiple times. I love that game, but I have not.
Do you love that game? I don't really know much about it. It looks to me like kind of Legos on acid.
It's like an open world game where you're just in the middle of a forest, and then you build to survive, and then you go and you defeat the Ender Dragon, and then you beat Minecraft.
Wait, what kind of dragon?
The Ender Dragon.
What the heck is that?
It's just like a little dragon that you defeat at the end of the game.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Well, I guess sometimes keeping it simple makes sense.
Yeah. Keep it simple, stupid.
Simplicity is always a good thing when you, when you can achieve it. You want to get a little weird for a second here?
I would love to get a little
weird.
Yeah.
How do I ask this?
Go ahead.
I don't think Bella's around right now, so we can't ask her. Have you ever found yourself attracted? And I mean that in a sexual attraction kind of way. To a mascot,
yes.
Of any kind. You have?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to talk about it?
I'm not going to name names, but yes.
Well, you know what? That's very gentlemanly of you.
Yeah.
To not get into names. Yeah. See, that's the difference with you. Excellent. Well, NBC 10 in Philadelphia, that bastion of journalism, reported NBC this 10 week.
Isn't bad.
Well, it's better than ABC. Anything's better than ABC.
Local, I find local news to be a lot better than national.
Oh, not WPVI though.
Yeah, maybe not.
They're commies over there, man.
Okay. Well, anyway.
But you disagree with that?
I think Fox 29 is really good. I think NBC 10 is really good. 6 ABC.
Yeah. Brian Taft blocked me on Twitter. Did you know that?
No, you're blocked by a lot of people on Twitter.
I'm blocked by a lot of people, yeah. Cory Booker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you have a sexual attraction to mascots? Is that why you're asking?
I don't, but NBC 10 is reporting that apparently it's a thing.
Oh, wow.
They reported this week, the Fanatic is beloved by generations of Philly fans, but for some fans, that love could be manifesting itself as a crush-worthy desire. That's right. The Philly Fanatic was just named the second sexiest MLB mascot by sports wagering site BetUS. According to NBC 10, the Fanatic finished just behind Arizona Diamondbacks mascot Baxter on the list that used Instagram followers, personality traits, and something called the Golden Ratio.
Oh, yeah. Baxter's a hunk.
That's another thing I don't want to Google, Golden Ratio. I feel like that could end very badly. You want to use a private browser for that one.
Baxter is, oh yeah.
Yeah?
Oh yeah.
Now, Baxter, if memory serves, is like some kind of bobcat or something, right?
Bobcat, yeah. Nickname, the Bob.
The Bob?
Yeah.
Now, what is it that you, at least publicly straight man, finds attractive about a male bobcat?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, I wanted to delve into this for a second.
No, it's D. Baxter the Bobcat.
I mean, he's got swagger.
Yeah, dude. No one says swagger.
Serious. Anymore. I'm gonna. All right, you want me to be Gen Z for a second?
Yeah.
The Riz, man. The Riz is just ripping off.
Nope. Using in the wrong.
What do you mean I'm using the wrong way?
The wrong. No. You got to be like, yeah, that mascot's fire. You know what I mean? You use the Riz in the wrong context.
All right, well, so use it correctly if I want to use it in relation to Baxter.
Baxter the Bobcat's got Riz.
He's got Riz. Yeah. So it's not something that comes off of you. It's something you have.
Right. You can't just protrude Riz.
Well, I mean, I could say with a little artistic license, I'm charismatic, but I'm also dripping charisma because I've got so much of it.
It depends on the context, and I use it. With Riz, specifically.
Well, according to BetUS, the Philly Fanatic, no slouch, ranks as the second hottest mascot with a fun and energetic ENFP personality. I don't know what that is. There's a lot of things in this segment, folks. I don't know what they mean. And over 200,000 Instagram followers following him back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So check that out. I don't know if this describes any of you out there in our core listening area in the great Delaware Valley, but... Philly Fanatic.
I found
get some people going.
I found the list.
All right. Who else is on there?
Clark the Cub.
Isn't it wrong to be attracted romantically to a cub? A cub is a child, an animal child.
I mean, not.
This is an Epstein Island.
No. God.
It's not like that.
Yeah, but I think in this term, it's a full grown. It's a for the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, I see. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But that thankful for the clarification there.
Yeah. Mr. Commodore from Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that's like a person. Not a real person, but, you know.
Yeah. Not Cornelius Vanderbilt, but that's cool.
Right. No. What I mean is that Mr. Commodore is actually like the captain of a ship, right? Or an admiral. He's not a bobcat.
Right. It's a real person. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Commodore was named the sexiest mascot in America.
All right.
The Duke Blue Devil.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess, you know, for people that like somebody with a little bit of an edge.
Yeah.
It's a wilder choice for you ladies out there that like a bad boy.
I mean, who doesn't like a bad boy? Oh, well, his eyes are too far apart, so I don't know.
The symmetry of his face is your issue.
Sparty, Michigan State. Oh. The next one's great. The next one. Oh, my God. I don't know if these are in order, but you want to take a guess?
Who's next on the list?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And this is just MLB, right?
No, these are...
Or is this all... Because the NBC was quoting an MLB list. Is this all professional mascots?
It just said... Here are some of the top mascots. Oh, I guess from various rankings. See, that's some. But okay. There's one on the list is just mind-boggling.
Okay. Well, it's not gritty.
We'll end it on this one.
I'm never going to get it.
The Stanford Tree. A tree is the sexiest mascot.
Wow.
Oh, that thing is heinous.
That's a scary looking tree too.
That thing is heinous.
Oh yeah, man. I mean maybe the tree has a good personality.
I guess so. But then also Rob Thompson came in as one of the most attractive MLB managers.
Well, do you want me to teach you something?
Sure.
About our folks that find a tree attractive.
Sure.
That's actually a disorder. It's called dendrophilia.
That's what we call a tree hugger.
Yeah, no, it goes beyond that. This is love of trees.
Oh.
So this refers to people who are attracted to or even sexually aroused by trees. I don't know if that means all trees or maybe some of the dendrophiles out there are a little bigoted and only like deciduous trees as opposed to, you know, conifers or something like that. This is not something that fir. What's that?
A Guatemala fir.
Is that what gets you going?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I thought you might be more of like a palmetto guy.
Mm-hmm. A Guatemala fir, 100%.
Guatemala fir. I can feel the heat coming through the microphone.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to look that up. I got to use the interwebs.
I think it's a type of a Christmas tree.
Oh, it's elegant.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's some elegant stuff. I found a picture. It's kind of got a forest as a backdrop, and it's foggy.
Yeah, it's a Guatemala fir.
Okay, yeah, I guess if I was going to be into a tree, it might be a Guatemala fir.
Yeah.
So you learn new things about yourself when you listen to the Matt Rooney Show.
Yeah.
It's not just a simple matter of learning more about politics. I found out I was a Guatemala fir guy.
Oh, well, yeah, that too. You learn about politics. The sexiest mascots, Jersey politics. What else do you need?
Yeah, we fit every possible thing in. It does. I guess maybe the fanatic should be a good thing for those of us that are carrying a little extra around the midsection, because the fanatic more or less has a dad bod. So that means dad bods are in right now.
A honeypot.
I don't like that.
Why?
I mean, I don't know. It just the there's something about it, Dan.
Okay. You want me to call it a beer belly?
No, I don't like that either because I don't like beer. I'm not a beer drinker. This is not the product of beer.
You want to look up some...
This is too many late night sandwiches after recording a podcast.
Look, I just looked up cute names for beer belly. Spare tire.
I like that better.
All right. You got a pot belly.
Pony keg.
Love handles. Not really. Not really beer belly. Just belly.
Yeah, I'm not loving the beer belly part.
Just belly.
Yeah. Just belly.
We'll go with spare tire.
Just spare tire.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things, folks, I should say, too, we're tracking out there, one of the big stories this week is President Trump's latest sparring with our court system over his tariffs this time, right? They couldn't take Trump down before he returned to the presidency with a bunch of nonsense charges related to classified docs, yada, yada, yada. So now the courts are directing their energies to derailing his agenda. They couldn't jail him. They're trying to put his policies on ice. On Wednesday, the U.S. Court of International Trade blocked many of the president's levies. They argued that federal law does not impart upon him, the phrase they use is unbounded authority, to tax imports from countries around the globe. So doing the best they can to try to, as we talked about earlier in the program, overturn the results of a legitimate election by using the court system to prevent the president we all voted for and who won fair and square from doing what he promised to do. Now, there was some news as the week progressed, so that happened on Wednesday. And then a U.S. appeals court reinstated some tariffs. Good news. God only knows where this will be by next week. But it was working. The threat of tariffs worked, right? I mean, look, take it from a lawyer, right, who appears in front of judges. They went to law school for a reason. They don't know economics. So we don't elect judges to direct our economy. They shouldn't have anything to do with it. But we'll continue to watch this one as a bunch of guys and gals with pony kegs, or whatever Dan's calling them now, hiding under their robes.
Spare tires.
Attempt to derail the Trump presidency. I don't think they're going to succeed, folks, but we haven't won the war yet. We're just trying to win one battle after another to try to save this great country of ours. That's what we try to do here on the Matt Rooney Show. One more pause so we can play some ads, make our advertisers happy, and I can have a sip of this coffee that's staring me down. And then when we return, we're going to close out, and we're also going to have the grand return of Twit Talk, God help us, in just a moment here on 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
This was a biggie this week, especially for all you Maha moms out there. HHS Secretary. Can't say that too quickly. You might fall forward and hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced this week that the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, is no longer recommending the COVID vax for healthy kids and pregnant women.
Also taking titanium out of Skittles.
Which is a real change because that puts hair in your chest.
Which sucks.
Who doesn't want a little titanium in the morning?
I love Skittles.
Do you love Skittles?
Oh my God, they're my favorite candy.
I don't like how they get stuck in your teeth very easily.
I love Skittles.
Yeah.
I just put a handful of them in my hand and just pop them in. I don't even separate them. I eat them all at once.
Oh, you can choke that way. You got to be careful, little guy.
Oh, I chew them. Don't worry. I chew them.
All right. Just making sure. I'm going to talk to Bella about that offline. Just want to make sure you're being safe.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is big news, right? Because, you know, look, I've said it many times in this program, folks. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Anti-vaxxer implies that you're just indiscriminately against the idea of a vaccine. I mean, that's not what I am. I don't think that's what most people are. Do I think that, as in most arenas in our country right now, we should all be scrutinizing what information we're putting in our heads and what medicines or what substances we're putting into our body. Should we be paying more attention to all that? Absolutely. I don't know how you could argue otherwise. We've got an epidemic in this country of unhealthy people. And it ain't all fast food that's responsible. I got news for you. Now, our buddy Mark Mitchell, he's the chief pollster over at Rasmussen Reports. He's been on this program before. He polled the issue, found the majority of Democrats still getting vaxxed or boosted. 50% of Democrats. Only 29% of Republicans, but that's still a decent chunk of people. That means, for those of you that aren't too hot with math and percentages and whatnot, that's almost 3 out of every 10 Republicans out there still going to get the vaccine. Now, he says it's pretty even across the age spectrum. A little bit of a spike with the olds. I'm surprised by that because I find it hard to believe there's young Republicans, for instance, out there, someone your age, Dan, that's going to get the vaccine affirmatively. I almost wonder if they're kind of pushing it at doctor's offices when you go in for other stuff.
I haven't been told anything about it. I haven't heard anything about it. I don't even know people were still getting it, but I guess that's here nor there.
Yeah, I mean, that's still a hell of a lot of people. 50% of Democrats and 29% of Republicans. I didn't think it was a thing anymore.
Neither did I. But here we are.
And look, I've said this from the beginning of the pandemic, folks. This program started in July 2021, which really wasn't that long ago. We're coming up on our 4th birthday. Happy birthday to us pretty soon this summer. But quite a bit has changed. I've never said at any point in the pandemic that my judgment should be substituted for anyone else's. That's something the left believes. That's not how we operate, right? You make your own decision. So if you want to go stick this stuff in your arm, and it makes you feel better, I guess more power to you. But we've long now understood what the joke was here, right? I mean, Joe Biden lied to the American people when he said that it would prevent the transmission of the disease. It doesn't do that. So even if you believe it has benefits for the elderly, for instance, somebody with comorbidities, whatever, what is the point of giving it to a young kid? What is the point of giving it to a pregnant woman? Now, they vaccinate pregnant women sometimes because then the baby gets the benefit of the vaccine. But again, COVID isn't something that really has much of an impact on young children. So we're finally getting some common sense from our government, especially from HHS, led by RFK Jr., who has been slandered as being anti-science, a kook, whatever else. As best I can tell, he's pursuing a logical course here. He's not telling anybody they can't get a vaccine. He's simply saying in this instance, hey, listen, you know, we're gonna stop pushing it on people that the data tells us quite clearly don't need the damn thing. So good on RFK. There's lots of good news out there, folks. You just have to look for it. Now here's some somewhat less good news. This segment, I continue to allow it to happen. We've had a blessed break now for a couple of months, but it was inevitable that it would make a return. It is the most confusing, perplexing, sometimes offensive, occasionally humorous, but nevertheless widely talked about episodes in all of radio. And what's it called, Dan? Remind me.
Hey, guys, gather round.
It's Twit Talk time.
Indeed it is.
Twit Talk time is the greatest segment in all of radio.
Where Dan harvests clips from TikTok and plays them on air primarily to make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, TikTok, that's the Twitter, goal. Anything that I can get my grimy little hands on just to make Matt uncomfortable.
Yeah, and just so long as we acknowledge it, right? I mean, that's what this is all about here. This isn't about great radio. This isn't about entertaining you folks. If that happens, that's a nice byproduct. He's trying to make me squirm.
I know it's good for the segment if I favorite it. Mind you, I have a whole folder of just TikToks just for the show, but I know it's folder worthy if I look at it and I say, yep, he's going to get, that's great for the show. He's going to get weirded out by that. And I favorite it and then I record it and it goes in the show.
It's the only litmus test. So what do you got tonight?
Where do we want to start? I don't know. Let's just start with this one. We're all about exclusive audio on the show, right?
Yeah, we are.
Well, I have an exclusive audio from a new upcoming artist. Didn't have a name, but I thought the song was fantastic. I think it has potential, and I want to share it with everyone in this audience.
And this is an exclusive.
Yeah, it is an exclusive.
All right, cool. Let's
exclusive hear it. To the audience, not TikTok, but exclusive to the audience. Right. You're right. You got to brace yourselves. You got to be sitting down.
All right, I'm secured to my chair.
All right, here we go.
Bitch, just shake that ass, and I'm talking really fast. Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, earthquake it. Bitch, just shake that ass, and I'm talking really fast. Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake that ass.
Wow. Wow, that's really something else. How is that not already a mega hit?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's going to go viral. I don't know about you, but I think
it's the kids are all going to be bebopping to it this summer. Eating their popsicles.
Yep. Yeah.
You're ahead of the curve as per usual, my friend.
Yep, just like we discovered Theo Von. Now look at us.
Yeah.
Do you remember our friend who would always do those weird noises at the end of the videos?
Yes.
She's back.
Oh no.
Here's she's a wizard, by the way. Her whole shtick is that she's a wizard.
I guess she can be whatever you want to be. Those are the rules, right?
If she keeps giving us quality content, then she can do whatever the hell she wants to do.
Your freakiness serves our purposes.
There you go. This is her latest message. Agree to disagree, but I think it's pretty clear. Here we go.
You're so annoying. Oh, you're so annoying. Well, how about you fart in my f***ing face? There wouldn't be any questions asked then. Let's just say.
Oh, no. Was the message clear? Or do I got to do it one more time?
I'd like to. Can I hear just the end part? Yeah, that's the relevant part. How does she do that?
Mind you, she ends the video every single time that way. Every time.
Why?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't understand.
All right. Do we want to go in another weird route, or do we want to go into a one political one that I have?
Let's.
Do you want to take a break?
Cleanse the palate with some politics, and then go back to ridiculous.
This was titled "Liberals in 2025." But I'll leave that up for interpretation in that case.
You guys prefer free college or free abortions?
Abortion.
Free abortions?
Yeah.
In what age do you think most trans kids determine that they're trans?
Violet told us when she was 1.5. She's been telling us since she could speak.
I hear a lot of, we're not going back. What are we not going back to? The kitchen.
What is your biggest fear in 2025?
People not understanding the difference between lies and truth.
What is a woman?
Does it really matter?
So could I be a woman if I wanted to be?
Yes.
Okay, quickly, so I misunderstand. Are we saying that 2+2, if you say it's 4, that's racist? I mean, that sounds like we may be mischaracterizing it. What, if you can quickly sum it up.
No, that's not mischaracterizing it at all. It's math is basically racist under this ideology because it says there is no such thing as an objective reality. So 4 might not be the right number. 2+2 might actually.
And then it just cuts off.
Whew. Man, I don't know where my brain is after all that.
1.5 is crazy.
That's what you're focused on. My brain went off the tracks when those young women without missing a beat were like, oh yeah, you know what? I'd rather pay a six-figure sum for college and be able to get a free abortion.
But telling them at 1.5, they can barely speak at 1.5. Come on now.
What world are we living in? One of the themes of tonight's show is that it's getting better. Is it?
Probably not. But there you go. That's how
we're doing the best we can.
All right. Clout. Palate is cleansed. This woman is looking for a man. I think that you might be the perfect target.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't tell Mrs. Rooney.
Yeah, here's her I guess her plea.
I don't know who need to hear this, but I need me a man so black that when he sweat, he look like a cold Pepsi.
Did you hear that? I gotta turn it up so you can hear it again.
Where do you find? Well, I was just gonna say. I was gonna say, where do you find this stuff? We know where you find it: TikTok or Twitter.
Let's listen to it one more time. Let's see if anyone out there can fit the description.
I don't know who need to hear this, but I need me a man so black that when he sweat, he look like a cold Pepsi.
A cold Pepsi.
That's beautiful.
It's true poetry, really.
It really is. I mean, I look, why do people spend time studying the greats, the wonderful poets of history when they have access to that?
You're telling me, but if anyone out there sweats and looks like a cold Pepsi, hit this girl up.
Move over, Emily Dickinson. There's a new sheriff in town.
I heard Olivia Julianne is available. I don't know if she looks like a cold Pepsi, though.
She looks like she's drank a few cold Pepsis. and eaten the bottle.
Jeez. This girl's in a predicament. If you can tell me what that is, I'll give you $5. So here it is.
Asked the guy at the gas station how his day was going. He said, still at work with my bored black ass. What'd I say? Same. I'm not at work, and I'm not black.
Can you tell me what the predicament is?
Which predicament? I just identified about 50.
Reminds me of a time when a waitress or a server or a waiter brings out your food and they like enjoy your food, and you're like, thanks, you too.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm so eager to like say something nice. I'm trying to be polite, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yep. Yeah. In reality, they're not eating. So just like this girl who was not working, nor was she black. Okay. Moving on.
I love when you're really into something and I'm not.
Yeah, this is great. I'm having a lot of fun with this. Last but not least, Jesus. Last but not least, our boy Theo had a very interesting guest on. Do you want me to spoil the guest, or do you just want to listen to the clip so you can find out who the guest is?
I mean, can you give us a little appetizer?
He was an ex-NFL player.
Okay, I think that's good. That's good for setup.
All right. Here we go. Do you want me to stop it after, or no? You just want me to play it?
You do you. This is your segment, man. I'm just the host. I'm a spectator.
Okay. All right. We're just going to let it play through. So here is Theovon. Let me bump up the volume a little bit. Here we go.
Oh, Ocho, tell me this. You think they got enough gay players in the NFL to beat the Jets? Be real with me, Ocho.
I have no idea. You would have to go by position. Is there one gay player to each position that is one of the best in the game at their position? But even then, I'm not sure. The Jets obviously looked bad last year, so we'll see what happens. That's a good question.
I would like to see that.
I like that hypothetical.
Thank you, sir. I would love to see that. And who would I even cheer for in that? I would cheer for the gay team.
I probably would, too.
Yep. I would coach them. I waterboy them dogs. I'd be out there waterboying, dude. We got a little bit of zest sauce for everybody in the huddle.
Chad Ochocinco with you, Yvonne.
How does that interview even happen?
I don't know. Chad 85, though.
Wow.
Historic, hypothetical question. Who would you root for?
Who would I root for?
Yeah.
I'd root for the Theo Vons.
The Water Boys. Got it. All right. I'm a fed. I could play the foosball.
I'd be too distracted by the sexy mascots. I'd be pining after that tree.
The Jets don't have a mascot.
They don't, do they?
They do not.
Can I tell you something? I'm 40 years old, and this is the first time I'm acknowledging this, that the Jets don't have a mascot.
Jets do not have one.
What is it with these North Jersey teams? The Jets don't have a mascot. The Giants
don't have one.
They also don't have cheerleaders.
This is true. Yes, this is also true.
That's some lazy stuff.
It is.
You know where we're not lazy? On the Matt Rooney Show. And we hope you enjoy this one, ladies and gentlemen. A Dan Valdez edition.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Don't get used to it.
We'll be back next week as per usual. In the interim, you know where to find us. Over at the Odyssey app. And of course, at the podcast. But until next time, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it.